In the sleepy village of King's Abbot, a shocking crime has upended the natural order. Roger Ackroyd, the town's wealthiest citizen, has been found stabbed to death in his locked study. The night before, wealthy widow Mrs. Ferrars died from an apparent suicide, and whispers suggest she poisoned her first husband. These two deaths, seemingly connected, set the stage for one of the most ingenious murder plots ever conceived. When Roger's niece Flora enlists the help of the newly retired detective Hercule Poirot, who has moved to the village to grow vegetable marrows, she unknowingly initiates an investigation that will reveal shocking truths about the seemingly respectable residents of King's Abbot. What makes this case particularly fascinating is how the truth hides in plain sight, if only we knew where to look. Dr. James Shepherd serves as our eyes and ears in King's Abbot. As the village doctor, he moves easily between social classes, privy to everyone's secrets. When summoned to confirm Mrs. Ferrar's suicide, he encounters his gossip-loving sister Caroline, who immediately suggests Mrs. Ferrar's killed herself out of remorse for poisoning her husband. That evening, Shepherd dines with Roger Ackroyd, who reveals a shocking truth. Mrs. Ferrars had indeed poisoned her husband and was being blackmailed over it. Before Ackroyd can read a letter from Mrs. Ferrars naming her blackmailer, Shepherd departs, leaving at precisely 9:30 p.m.
"I shall go through with it to the end. The good dog, he does not leave the scent." With these words, Hercule Poirot emerges from retirement to solve the Ackroyd case. While Inspector Raglan focuses on physical evidence against Ralph Patton, Poirot examines the psychology of the suspects. Why does the evidence against Ralph seem too perfect? Why was the chair pulled from the desk? Why was the study window open on a cold night? Poirot discovers everyone at Fernley Park conceals secrets. Mrs. Ackroyd searched for Roger's will before his death. Flora stole money from her uncle. Jeffrey Raymond was deeply in debt. Parker eavesdropped for blackmail material. And parlor maid Ursula Bourne hides her true identity. Poirot succeeds through his attention to domestic details others overlook. A wedding ring in the goldfish pond and a goose quill containing heroin form a pattern only he recognizes. "It is the brain, the little gray cells," he explains, "on which one must rely." Later, Shepherd receives a call about Ackroyd's murder. At Fernley Park, they discover no one made this call. Breaking into the locked study, they find Ackroyd stabbed, the window open, and footprints outside. The letter from Mrs. Ferrars is missing, and Ralph has disappeared. In a village of secrets, appearances deceive. As the investigation deepens, layers of deception unravel. Ursula Bourne, the parlor maid, is revealed to be secretly married to Ralph Patton, explaining their woodland argument. Ralph, financially dependent on his stepfather, had agreed to marry Flora for money despite his existing marriage. When Ackroyd announced the engagement publicly, Ursula confronted Ralph, then revealed their marriage to Ackroyd. The mysterious stranger near Fernley Park is identified as Charles Kent, Miss Russell's drug-addicted, illegitimate son. She met him in the summer house to provide money and heroin before he left. Flora's testimony also collapses under scrutiny. She admits never actually seeing her uncle alive at 9:45 p.m. as claimed, invalidating previous assumptions about the murder's timing. Each revelation shifts our understanding of that night, creating a puzzle with pieces that refuse to fit neatly together. In King's Abbot, everyone has something to hide, but only one person has a secret worth killing for. In classic detective fashion, Poirot assembles all suspects at his cottage. With theatrical flair, he reveals Ursula's secret marriage to Ralph and hints mysteriously about knowing Ralph's whereabouts. The tension mounts as suspects press for details, receiving only enigmatic responses. The dramatic climax arrives when Ralph Patton himself appears, explaining he'd been hiding in a nursing home near Cranchester, placed there by Dr. Shepherd, who had been protecting him. Ralph admits to wandering the countryside on the murder night, providing no alibi, but maintaining his innocence. Surprisingly, Poirot declares this makes everything very simple. He announces that to exonerate Ralph, the true criminal must confess. Tension thickens as each person realizes that within 24 hours, someone's facade will crumble. This gathering serves as Poirot's strategic battlefield, allowing him to observe reactions, test theories, and set a trap for the killer. It's a psychological chess match where every gesture carries significance, with Poirot several moves ahead of everyone else. After everyone leaves, Poirot reveals to Dr. Shepherd his complete understanding of the case. The telephone call was arranged to ensure the murder was discovered that night. A dictaphone had played Aykroyd's voice at 9:30, creating the illusion he was still alive when already dead. The footprints were deliberately made using Ralph's shoes to cast suspicion on him. Poirot delivers his devastating conclusion. The murderer visited the Three Boars that day, knew about Aykroyd's dictaphone purchase, had mechanical knowledge, opportunity to take the dagger, carried a black bag, and had the study to himself after the crime. Dr. Shepherd himself. Shepherd was Mrs. Ferris's blackmailer, using his position as her doctor to discover she had poisoned her husband. When she committed suicide, he feared Aykroyd would learn his identity from her letter. He killed Aykroyd before he could read it. Faced with exposure, Shepherd thanks Poirot for an interesting evening before leaving. In the early morning hours, he completes his manuscript, ironically intended to document one of Poirot's failures, confessing everything before taking a fatal dose of Veronal. The murder of Roger Aykroyd revolutionized detective fiction through its brilliant use of the unreliable narrator. Dr. Shepherd tells the story with apparent honesty while concealing his guilt. He writes truthfully but omits crucial information, creating a misleading narrative without technically lying. His description of the murder exemplifies this technique. I had gone up to the door of Aykroyd's study. I hesitated for a moment with my hand on the handle, and then, quietly opening the door, I went in. Aykroyd was sitting, as I had left him, in the armchair before the fire. He never explicitly states he found Aykroyd already dead. The omission creates a false impression. This deception works because readers naturally trust a first-person narrator, especially a seemingly rational village doctor. When the truth is revealed, we must reconsider everything, seeing how skillfully we've been manipulated through carefully constructed scenes. Nearly a century later, the novel remains revolutionary, having altered detective fiction fundamentally. Christie's bold choice challenged both genre conventions and readers' basic assumptions about storytelling. Every element serves multiple purposes. Conversations contain hidden significance. Details conceal potential clues. The book succeeds as both entertainment and literature, offering puzzle-solving pleasures while exploring deception and moral corruption in respectable society. Its timelessness lies in forcing us to question assumptions about truth and reliability, an insight remarkably prescient in our age of information manipulation.